Welcome to Three and Out with Jason and Kevin. I am Jason. That is Kevin. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation's Cincinnati Bengals website, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. We are on the Orange and Black Insider, SB Nation, or Cincy Jungle's YouTube and kind of media channel. On YouTube, it's Orange and Black Insider. It's new shows every single day. It's Three and Out. It's OBI. It's Chalk Talk. It's a lot of this stuff. And then anywhere that you can find a podcast, that's what we're going to be at. Remember, Bengals Orange and Black Insider, Bengals OBI. Check it out. Like I said, great daily content. Yeah. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Nothing. Season's over.
Yep. Season's over.
Ended with a bang. I know it was basically a preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, depth versus depth. But it was fun. Always nice to beat the Browns. I was kind of hanging more on the side of draft picks. But I mean, I'm never going to not be excited to beat a division rival. That's just not my nature.
I think they're locked in at 16. Is that correct? Right?
18.
18. That's right. 18. Locked in. 100%. No matter what happens, they're picking 18th. And you know, like, obviously the season was a disappointment. I think any time the Bengals don't make a serious playoff push, it's going to be a disappointment with Joe Burrow under center. But not making the playoffs is a bad deal. But again, this whole season, at least to me, in my opinion, the whole thing felt cursed from the very beginning. They, you know, you had the calf injury, and then they came out looking like crap, for lack of a better term. They just, you know, they didn't look good. And then Burrow, you know, went down week 12, and the rest is history, whatever. But I can't complain about being a fan of a team who lost their franchise quarterback and the highest paid player in NFL history. And they were still in the hunt, fighting for a playoff spot in week 17.
Sure.
And finished with a winning record. I mean, if I told you before the season starts, hey, Burrow's only going to have like three healthy games and he's going to go on IR in week 12. And what would you have said their record would be?
6 or 7.
Right. Right. So they went 9.
Yeah. We still got a lot of talent, but yeah.
Yeah. A lot of talent. Good coaching, mostly.
Anyways.
Hey, yeah,
we're moving on to tonight. We're moving on to the off-season content.
Off-season programming. Yep.
Yep.
We're used to this. We're used to this.
We are going
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Because you're going to say that we started the podcast the day after the Super Bowl. Yeah. We're real smart.
Yeah. We're real smart. Real smart guys.
Interest in football is as low as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be grading, including Dex Hill. We're going to be grading all the rookies. We're going to take draft position in account, but we're just going to give our thoughts, our feelings on after a year of play under their belt for at least most of them, what we think about the Bengals players when you're
out. I want to say, I have a disclaimer before we do this. I do want to say that I am not looking at stats at all. Like, every grade that I'm giving is purely emotional. 100%.
Anybody can do stats.
Right.
I'm going to be willing to sit here and look like an idiot as I speak from the heart about these players.
This is going to be purely emotional. I may be totally wrong, but we'll see how it goes. All right. So I think you mentioned we're going to do, so there were 8 draft picks from 2023. We're going to do 9 because we're adding in Dax Hill, because it's kind of like a rookie. He didn't really start.
Basically.
He didn't play much, and he started at free safety this year. C-.
C-.
Yeah.
I'm going B-. Can you, I don't think he was used entirely correctly.
I don't think so.
If he's not being played at free safety, he actually looks pretty good. I still think there's a lot of potential, but I would have given him an A this time last year, and now he's dropped down to a B-. My evaluation will continue to drop until he is used correctly.
Right.
And does look like the player I thought he was, but I still think there's a lot of upside there.
No, I think there's definitely a lot of upside. And I agree with you, when he's not playing free safety, he looks pretty good. He's a freak athlete. He can do some crazy things when it comes to covering the tight end out of the slot, an extra box defender. He's really good against the run. He's good as a blitz guy. He's not good as a rangy center field deep safety.
He's not.
That's not what he's good at. That's obviously what Jesse Bates excelled at. And I think that's what they took Dax Hill thinking that he was going to be able to do. And the reason that I'm giving him a C- is because I think that not only was there a little bit of regression during the year, but I'm based on his draft spot. As we said, we were taking that into account, a first round pick. You want to make some sort of immediate contribution. And I think that the contribution they were hoping he would make would be like a Jesse Bates replica, and he's not. And that's not necessarily on him. You know, like, that's the whole adage of, like, you have a classroom of, you know, like, one elephant and one cheetah, and you say, hey, your test is climb that tree. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, you can't just say, go be Jesse Bates. That's not how that works. I do think.
But yet you are docking him because he's not Jesse Bates.
Hey, I told you I was doing this emotionally. I'm not doing this. Okay. This is just talking. I'm saying, because the first round pick thing, that's where it hits for me.
Sure.
I think the best thing the Bengals could do this offseason is probably bring in another safety.
Yeah, they need to bring in a veteran free safety.
And let him teach Dax Hill, or let him take that spot and then just move Dax Hill around, see what happens. But for me, it's a C-, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, we're not teaching Dax Hill how to play free safety. We're teaching Jordan Battle how to communicate is where this is going. Yeah. But let's continue.
Okay.
Miles Murphy, man.
Okay.
I'll go first on this one. Yeah. I gave him a D. He's a D. Okay. He still has potential upside. Yeah. Every time I saw him, any flash of anything, I went, ooh, maybe. And then it just nothing again for like two or three games. A few times you ever saw him. He is not progressing at a rate that I needed him to. He's not showing me what I needed him to. He still has a ton of upside. I would love if he had an offseason under his belt, if he went out and he got some training from some professionals and figured out how to add to his catalog a little bit. If that happens, I would be very, very happy, and I will revise that immediately. But for a first round pick, he needed to make an impact, some kind of impact. Now, the difference between Miles Murphy and Dax Hill for me is Dax Hill did not have a role on this team last year.
Right.
He just didn't. He was there to replace Jesse Bates, who was on the team. So I don't fault Dax Hill for not finding his way on the field the same way I fault Miles Murphy. If Miles Murphy had been better, he would have gotten snaps. That D-line needed him to step up.
Right.
They needed him to at least spell some guys occasionally. And he just never even approached what I would expect out of a first-round pick.
Okay. So I'm going to say D+. And mostly because it's a first round pick. I think we mostly agree it's a first round pick. And like you said, I saw flashes, and I saw some flashes on Sunday against the Browns. I saw a couple things he did that I really liked a lot. I was watching the Goodberry show. He peeled off just intelligently and helped cover a screen, which ended up giving Sam Hubbard a sack. You know what I mean? And just stuff like that, you know. So I do see flashes of where he has potential, but like you said, there's a lot of times where he shows flashes and then he just disappears and you don't see him again, you know.
And the end of this season, we should not be talking about flashes. He was a first round pick. By the end of the season, we should be talking about, oh yeah, no, he really, really found his footing halfway through the season.
Right.
He really started to make an impact. You remember that one game where he got 3 sacks? Oh, that was wild. Like, this is what you expect out of a first-round player.
Right.
I know he was into the first round. I get all that. He's still a first-round talent. He should have performed, and he almost didn't at all.
Right. You know, I think a lot of it also is I think the defensive, the front seven in general, struggled a lot this year, you know, especially when DJ Reader went out. That's really not much of an. I'm not trying to make an excuse. I mean, like I said, I gave him a D+ too.
That's opposite mostly, of an excuse. That meant there was all kinds of room for him to step up and make an impact.
Well, exactly. I know.
If anything, that should dock him.
Right.
He's a rookie on a D line that struggled all season. He had all the opportunity in the world to earn him a starting spot on that.
Yeah.
On that line.
I mean. Yeah, I gave him a D+. I think that at the end of the season, if you had said, you know, if you had showed me and I didn't know the draft numbers, like, here's where he played, guess on the rank of picks 1 through 8 the Bengals made him, I would have said, you know, 5th pick, whatever, 5th round pick, something like that. For a first round pick, he didn't do much. So, but yeah, a D+ for me. But I'm not going to sit here and say I think that there's hope that he could be some, you know, at least a third down pass rusher. You know what I mean? So
he still has a high ceiling just because of his athleticism. That will always give hope that if he could just put it together, he could really, I mean, he could be something.
Right.
But he didn't put it together. He didn't do it.
No.
He didn't even really come close this season.
Not this year, no.
I'm not grading. I'm not grading on potential. He's got a D.
All right. All right. So DJ Turner. Second round pick.
Oh, he's an A.
A. Okay. Oh. All right. Go ahead. You go ahead. You go first.
He's an A. He's a third round pick. He's a starter. He put it together almost immediately. He definitely made some rookie mistakes. You saw a couple busted coverages. That is all things I'm willing to forgive, especially for a second round pick. I said third earlier, especially for second round pick, late second. He is going to be the cornerback. He's going to hold that position till his contract's expired.
Right.
We got a starter. He's fast. The one concern I had with him was he was kind of small, kind of lighter. Mm-hmm. I worried that would affect his physicality. It didn't.
No.
He has no issue throwing himself into the play when necessary. I am very, very happy with DJ Turner.
Me too. I think, I'd say A minus or so. I think that it probably helped him a little bit that Chidobe Awuzie had to take a couple games off. I think it kind of did the same thing it did to Cam Taylor-Britt when Awuzie was hurt. Was it forced him into a starting role, and it's kind of like, oh, sink or swim, buddy. And we all saw Cam Taylor-Britt swam big time, and I think DJ Turner did too. And it's a premium position. It's a tough position to play in the NFL, and you're going against great talented wide receivers, and you're going to make mistakes, and he made some mistakes, but there are things that he can do physically.
Yes.
Like with just his speed that you can't teach guys who read the field better than him. You know what I mean? He's just such a fast player. And then, like you said, I was concerned about his ability to play run defense. He throws his weight around big time.
Yes, he does.
A lot. Really, really well. Almost to the point where you're like, I'm concerned about his ability to stay healthy.
If he's throwing weight
around like this. But he tackles like Mike Hilton does,
I would say that.
He does. He throws his body around a lot. So I think that's an A minus pick or just an A pick. I'm very happy with DJ Turner. If you think about the secondary with Dax Hill, Jordan Battle, DJ Turner, Cam Taylor-Britt, not only is it incredibly young, but there's some crazy athletes, just crazy athletic secondary players.
Young, speed, fast, and cheap. Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Not do better.
Yeah. Team speed kills. Absolutely kills, especially on defense in the secondary. So yeah, I'm pumped. Which brings, in my opinion, I think the steal of the draft is the third round pick out of Alabama, safety Jordan Battle. So when we first got drafted, the big thing was, hey, he's a good leader. He's a good leader. He's a smart player. He started for Nick Saban on an Alabama safety position for 3 years. And that's they play. They're just, it's like an NFL feeder program. Nick Saban retired to that. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So I think it was like he'll play smart, but he's slow. His RAS score is really low. He's not an athlete. And I think it was like, oh, he'll be a depth piece. He'll maybe fight for a starting position halfway through because Nick Scott's an athlete. Nick Scott sucked bad. And then Jordan Battle not only became a starting safety much earlier than I was expecting him to, but he's the best safety on the team right now by far.
Yes.
Best safety on the team. And not only is he the best safety on the team, he's the best center field safety on the team. And he's slow. Not slow. Yes. Okay. I say that knowing full well that if I race Jordan Battle, he's going to make me look like a fool. I'm just saying he's slower than Dax Hill. And you think of these center field deep free safeties as like, oh, they're the athletes. They got to get sideline to sideline. Jordan Battle just does an incredible job anticipating plays.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is when you hear, oh, he's an intelligent player. He's cerebral. He really knows football, et cetera. That is usually code. And not good code for he's not an athlete. Don't expect a ton out of him.
Right.
With Jordan Battle, his understanding of the game and how quickly he caught on and how good he reads the field, that adds a tick to his speed. He's moving one tick before everybody else is. So sure, he's a little slower, but he's moving before you too. He ended up probably becoming pretty impressive for me, at least personally, by the end.
So I think it's clear, at least to me, that the starting jobs are his and Dax Hill's to lose unless they bring in another safety. But I think Jordan Battle, to me, has been the steal of this draft class.
Yes.
Absolutely. And like, really,
not for me, but I will get to that. I think everybody okay. who watches this could guess who I'm going to say. Yeah. But he was a steal. He absolutely yes. was.
But if you think about it too, there's just kind of this thought about if Jordan Battle was the number 28 overall pick, okay, and Miles Murphy was their third round pick, how would you have graded Jordan Battle as a first round safety?
As a first round safety, I would have graded him a B minus.
Okay, and then what would you have given Miles Murphy as a third round defensive end?
I'd still give him like a C minus or a okay. D plus.
All right. Just curious.
He's not there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I just didn't know how that would change if he was a third round pick or a first round pick.
Giving Miles Murphy anything higher than a D is if he's drafted 6 or 7, where yeah. he's a pure developmental shot in the dark type of piece. Okay. Anything else, he should at least be able to reach the field a little bit.
Yeah.
I might be being harsh, maybe 5th round as well. But 1 through 4, he's sure. still getting a C or a D from me.
I get that. All right. But yeah, I Jalen Battle has been great. I'm super impressed with his ability not only to see the field but read and react. And he doesn't play slow; he plays so much faster. You know, there's all those things where you say, "Oh, he plays a lot faster than his 40 time." That's just because you're smart. You play yep. smart. You use your head. And you know, there's a reason they call safety the quarterback of the defense. You know, it's possible that Jalen Battle is our Jesse Bates replacement. Would it really surprise you if you found out Jalen Battle is going to play free safety and Dax Hill is going to be like our Von Bell guy? Kind of an in-the-box? Wouldn't surprise me if they just made that switch.
No, I think it's the only thing you can do.
Other than bring someone.
Part of the reason... Yeah, it's part of the reason I graded Dax high is I think they were trying to force him into a place he didn't fit. And I think they're going to learn that lesson. And they're either going to be comfortable with Jordan Battle. There's going to be a lot of rotation, don't get me wrong. But yeah. I think they're either going to grow more comfortable with Jordan Battle being their starting free safety, or they're going to bring in a vet. But either way, that's, yes, I think that is going to be the lineup from now on. I think it's okay. Battle at free, Dax at box.
I can see it. I can see it. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with day 3, guys. All right. Eastgate Smiles Dental Care is a warm and welcoming environment where expertise and customer service come together. As a local business, they love helping their fellow Cincinnatians manage their oral health and achieve a perfect smile. They pair the latest technology with years of experience to give you a smile worth showing off. They are dedicated to quality and convenience and can even perform dental crown procedures the same day in most cases. You like your smile, but they are here to help you love it. They personalize your care and match your needs. Call them today at 513-528-1150 to learn what they can do for your pearly whites. All right, Kevin. Round 4 out of Purdue, Chuck Sizzle. Charlie Jones, what do you got?
If I'm going first, I think I'm going to upset some people here. I'm going to give him a C.
Okay.
Right. A C. He's a 4th round pick, so I don't expect a ton out of him. I also do realize that unlike Miles Murphy, he really didn't have much of a time to get on the field. Mm-hmm. But he got hurt. We couldn't use him like we wanted to use him the few times he was out there. I don't feel like he made very much of an impact. I think with the year to develop, if their intention is to put him in the slot where Boyd used to be, I'm excited to see where that goes. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything really other than 1 or 2 good punt returns that made me thrilled with Charlie Jones.
Okay. I'm going to take like a different approach to his grade. Is I'm going to go back to like kindergarten and give him a grade of I, incomplete. Mainly because he wasn't able to get on the field. He went on IR for a little. I think it was a dislocated thumb. Does that sound sure. right?
Sure. Something like that. It was yeah. hand something. I mean, sure. it was, I don't sure. remember.
Something like that. And then you have your number 5 maybe, or number 4 in the greatest wide receiver room in the NFL with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. And even when Chase or Higgins were hurt, you're not an outside guy, and those yep. are outside guys. You know what I mean? So he yep. had very limited time. He did play a lot against the Browns in week 18, but that you're looking at a preseason game kind of, you know, it's not really yep. the same thing. And he showed a lot. He stretched the field. He had a really long, a nice play where he split the seam from the slot. But again, you don't really know what that's going to look like when you have your starting secondary players out there. You know, you really don't know. And it's not with Joe Burrow. He never set anything up with Joe Burrow. So I'm going to say incomplete. I don't know if it's really I can't really look at him and say, give him a letter grade, because I have no idea. I'm hopeful that it's a B. You know, I think he has a lot of potential. Sure. But Tyler Boyd has some huge shoes to fill. One of the most reliable, not just slot receivers, one of the most reliable receivers in Bengals history. You know, anytime, he's never been a number one guy in our eyes. You know what I mean? Because he sat with AJ and then he had Jamar and T. But anytime he was asked to put up number one numbers, he did.
Yep.
You know, he had some huge games. So I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to say incomplete for Charlie Jones, at least for now. I'm going to see what happens next year. So, which brings us to your favorite guy, at least it was your favorite guy, sixth round running back, still is, okay, Chase Brown out of Illinois, which I think I would have, had we been doing the show halfway through the season, I would have given him an incomplete as well, because he didn't really see any play time until Joe Burrow went out. So why don't you start on Charlie Jones?
A plus.
Charlie
Jones, Chase Brown.
Charlie Jones, Chase A+. Brown, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I agree with you. We didn't see what I wanted to see. Right. And then when he finally had his time to put something together, every time he's on that field, you got the impression he was about to break off 20 yards. Yeah. Now, it didn't happen. And that's not, you don't expect it to. But that's what you need. That's what we needed from this running back position this entire season, all of last season as well, was the threat of it. The way he moves, the way he plays the game. If that O-line had been a little bit better, I think people would have been going nuts for the way Chase Brown plays football. He is absolutely the one of a 1-2 punch that we're going to put together at running back. And suddenly our running game is going to be very, very good. I am calling it. I love Chase Brown.
I really like him a lot. I am going to say B+.
How dare you?
I like him a lot. I'm upset that he didn't really get a chance to do anything at all until it was too late. That's how I see it.
He's a fifth round pick.
I know that, but like, it's not like the running game was working. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're going to wait until Joe Burrow goes out before we start giving this rookie running back some carries. And then, you know,
that's not on him.
I know it's not on him. I know it's not on him. So Joe Mixon, in my opinion, I think he's lost a step. He's more of a plotting kind of guy. I think Ware used to think that he's, you know, possibly 4 or 5 yards a carry. I think he's lucky to get 3.5. I know he averaged 4 this year, and he had a bounce back year compared to what he was last year. But just when you see him carry the ball, he plods sometimes. Like, he's running through sand. You know what I mean? Sometimes he has a burst. But Chase Brown has a burst that I've never seen from Mixon. And I didn't really know that was his until he had that, was it a screen pass where he hit like 23 miles an hour as the second fastest player in the NFL this year? No idea. But now I see him as the lightning to Mixon's thunder. So Mixon has a roster bonus due on March 18th, $3 million. If he's going to be on the team.
We'll know by March 18th, one way or the other.
He's going to be on the team.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they don't, then it'll be interesting to see who they pair him with. I'm super excited. And this is the only draft pick that I'm giving a grade based on potential, not what I saw. You know what I mean? But based on potential of what I saw, if you fix the offensive line's ability to run block, you know, and you actually commit to the running game where you know it's a real threat, oh, he could be amazing. I'm going to give B+. I want to see a little bit more. I want to see some more, but that's not his fault. It's not his fault. So, yeah, that was your fifth round pick. So that brings us to the sixth round pick. They had 2 6 round picks because they traded back in the first. So I'm assuming that this is your steal of the draft, and I think most people would agree with you.
No, my steal of the draft was Chase Brown. I think he's going to be one of the top 10 running backs in the league next year.
Okay.
And I think drafting the top 10 running back in the league.
Oh, on the fifth round, sure.
At 5 is. Yeah. Pretty much all you can ask for.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Andre Yosivish.
Also would have been an excellent pick. I'll be honest. I did waffle between the two. But I don't think Yoshi is going to be a top 10 or even 20 wide receiver.
Okay.
I do think he, just putting it out. Yeah. My grade is an A. It's a solid A for Yoshi. I don't see him having the same I don't see him being ranked as highly as Chase Brown, which is the only difference. I do think he is going to be an incredible number two in a year, next year, probably. He's raw. He's rough. But he is an athlete, and he is progressing faster than a sixth round pick should, especially one from Princeton. I like him. I like him. Yeah. I think I would almost be willing to roll the dice if we couldn't secure T. I'm so close to being like, I don't know. Is he your number two? Is he your number two?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
if I heard tomorrow that they were going to, like, we're going to roll with Yoshi and we're going to, he's not coming back. We're either trading him off or whatever, but he's not coming back. I'd be like, well, they must know something I don't know, but let's see where this goes. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm not there yet with Yoshi.
No, I'm not either. I'm saying almost.
Right.
I'm getting
I like it. I'm going to give him an A. So if there's a time to throw caution to the wind and draft a project that may or may not work, it's the sixth and seventh round. I mean, that's those are throwaway picks. You know what I mean? And you're going to draft a Princeton wide receiver with a big frame and track speed, but we've seen big frame fast wide receivers come in the late rounds that don't do anything in the NFL just because they don't know how to run routes. They don't know how to read defenses. They never get on the same page with their quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that wasn't the case with him. I mean, he contributed more than any offensive rookie this year, stat-wise, for sure.
Yeah, probably. I haven't looked at the stats, but it sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, he came in, he played, you know, kind of all over the place. We saw he's got that deep threat speed that really does threaten a defense. Jake Browning doesn't have the arm, I think, to take advantage of it, but Burrow does. I would be super disappointed if I think that T. Higgins is going to be back in this next year on the tag. Do you agree?
100%. And okay. I do want to walk back. I do want to make clear what my intent was with what I said. I am not saying he has the potential to be T. Higgins.
Right.
I am saying that with the money freed up.
Yeah.
As far as the difference in price tag is concerned, I would not be instantly angry at the idea of Yoshi's the new guy. Here's $20 million. What are we doing with it? Well, it's going to the D-line. But
I agree. I see what you're saying. Yeah. And so I do agree. He's not T. Higgins. But the reason I say he's not T. Higgins is T. Higgins is not a number two receiver either. T. Higgins is a bona fide number one 1A guy. You know what I mean? He's one of the 10 best wide receivers in the NFL, in my opinion. Andre Yosivish is not, but that doesn't mean he's not a number two. Number two doesn't have to be the number 10 best guy. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh yeah,
you have Jamar and you have T next year and T's on the tag. And then after that, T goes. And then you have, if Yosivish shows even more, maybe he's your number two after that, which is fine. That'd be great. If you drafted a sixth round pick in 2023 and he's your wide receiver two in 2025, oh man, that's one of the greatest draft picks in franchise history.
Absolutely. You know?
He's got all the physical tools. He went to Princeton. He's got the brains for it. He took a selfie with my son on Sunday, which is cool. So, and he's really, he seems to be a fan favorite, you know, like a cool dude. I don't know.
Sure.
Yoshi. Yeah. A plus. That's the best grade draft for me. So, and then brings us to our next sixth round pick out of Michigan, Brad Robbins, the punter, who we were all super excited about.
Yeah, hang time, buddy.
He was bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, this was like, the easiest one for me. I didn't waffle a bit.
Did you give him an F?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I gave him an F.
All right.
You don't necessarily need to draft a punter. You can just get one. There's a ton of There's a ton of them out there. So if you spend a draft pick on a punter, they'd better show up and actually be at least not awful. Yeah. And he maybe had, I don't care if I'm exaggerating, 5 good punts the entire season, and almost every other one beyond that was disappointing.
Yeah.
I would watch that ball go up, and I'd be like, there it goes down.
Yeah. There were a lot of times where he had these punts that were like net 35 yards, 20-something yards.
Yeah,
they weren't good. And I know that the whole thing, the idea, the theory behind drafting him, a hang time guy, he's not this huge, powerful leg, is you got Joe Burrow and you got a high-powered offense that's not going to be stuck down in your own end very much. And at worst, you need a guy just to pin somebody back, you know. So I get the idea, but it didn't work. He wasn't good, consistently good at all.
I get the idea. It was a bad idea.
Yeah, because think about
if you're drafting a punter, you're drafting a punter to do anything you need a punter
Right. To do. He didn't.
If you're just like, well, you know, we're going to take a flyer and just say that maybe we never need him to ever kick long. Right. Okay. Well, you go buy that guy. You go buy that guy for cheap.
Right.
Because if you're spending any draft pick on a punter, you're doing it because he's a unique talent.
Yeah. So I agree. If you're spending a draft pick on any special teams guy, whether it be kicker or punter, you're doing it under the understanding that that guy's going to start. He's a franchise guy now. Brad Robbins was not good. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the best judge at punting or anything like that, but he was bad. But I think the thing that upsets me about it is and I'm just going to use one player, and there were a lot of players, but Ivan Pace Sr. He was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Minnesota Vikings. He was excellent for them. We had insider information about him here. He went to UC. He was excellent at UC. He didn't get drafted. Imagine if they say, hey, we're not going to draft a punter. We're going to sign one as a free agent. We're going to move or maybe grab DJ Iver, whoever in the sixth round. And then you draft someone like Ivy in the seventh and then sign a free agent punter. I don't give a shit who it is. You know what I mean? Think about what that does for your defense instead of using that draft pick. So I as well gave him an F. Just because, to me, drafting a punter that's bad is not much different than drafting a first-round guy who just sucks. You know what I mean? It's a draft spot.
Away, basically. Yeah.
You are.
And so, just to, like, ring home, I want to pin down on this that it's almost not Brad Robbins' fault, because I really do think the idea behind Brad Robbins was faulty from the beginning.
Right.
It really is the equivalent of being like, we drafted a kicker. He can't really kick 50-yard field goals.
Right.
He's real good from the 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're just gonna hope that our offense never requires a 50-yard field goal. Ever.
Yeah. Ever.
Like, okay, that's a bad pick. You made a bad pick.
Right. Yeah. It's the fact that it was a pick. You know what I mean? You just threw a draft pick away. And a lot of people can say, well, it's a sixth round pick. But then when you talk about Andres Eusebius was a sixth round pick, look what he did.
Yep.
You know, the next guy we're going to talk about was a sixth round pick. And even though he didn't do what we did or what Yosevich or anyone else did, the seventh round pick, the fact that he made the team and did anything is pretty. Where's DJ Ivy? Adam Ivy, seventh round pick. Didn't do a lot. I think that he deserves another incomplete. You know what? I take that back. I'm going to give him a B+. And the reason I'm going to give him a B+.
It's a B for me.
Yeah.
He's a seventh round pick and he's a pretty decent special teamer. What else do you want?
Normally your seventh round picks are one of two guys. They're practice squad guys or they're cut and they never make it in the NFL. And obviously there's a ton of examples of seventh round picks who've done things in the NFL, whatever. But not only did DJ Ivy make some noise in camp, a lot of noise in camp, covering some really, really great wide receivers. Not only did he make a lot of noise in camp, he made the team and he produced. He on special teams, he did well. And then in the couple games that he did play, there was a big pass breakup he had in the end zone. You can't ask a seventh round guy much, much more than what he gave us. B. Absolutely. And no, you know what?
If I would almost give him an A. Honestly, I'm going to bump it to an A because he's a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
You made a strong point here. I require nothing of a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
A seventh round pick can get drafted and then cut for 2 weeks.
Right.
That's what I expect out of seventh round picks.
Yep.
And he's done a lot with almost nothing. A.
And I'll tell you another thing when it comes to seventh round picks, if he does nothing for his entire career other than take two dozen snaps as a rotational defensive back and play special teams, that's a Hall of Fame seventh round career. That's all you got. That's an A+. That's, you know, if you become Michael Thomas as a seventh round pick, that's an A+ career as far as I'm concerned.
100%. No, yeah, you sold me. He's an A. Yeah. I bumped it.
So, all right. You know what? Like, I think that when you look at this draft class, anytime you grade a draft class, you really have to give it what do you think? 3 years? You know, give them a really couple 3 years to maybe not be on their second contract, but see what guys are going to be extended and what guys aren't. You know what I mean?
Sure. I would argue two before you can have a real idea. We always got people pop off and fall back or take a year to develop. But you're right. Okay. Two or three. Yeah.
But I mean, so like doing this is kind of pointless, but why not? It's our show. Whatever, we'll do what we want. But I think what if I had to give this whole draft class a letter grade, even though your first round pick was underwhelming and you had a, you know, you kind of threw away a pick on a punter, I'm going to give this draft class a B minus. And the reason I'm giving a B minus is because you did get a lot of production out of guys that either shouldn't have had to produce.
Yeah.
Like DJ Turner wasn't supposed to be in the starting plans. You know, that was supposed to be Cheeto and CTV. And you had a Jordan Battle that, you know, he's going to be a depth piece. Maybe he's a special teamer because it's going to be Nick Scott and Dax Hill. But you had those two guys starting when they maybe shouldn't have, or not shouldn't have, but didn't, you know, weren't supposed to. That wasn't the plan. You know, Andre Yusevich played a lot more than I was ever expecting him to play. I was expecting to see more out of Charlie Jones than Andre Yusevich. But, you know, injuries to Higgins on the outside. And he played so well. And then we saw some of DJ Ivy. I think it's a B. I think this draft class deserves a B as of right now, based on the guys that I wasn't expecting to produce, even though the ones I thought would produce the most didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's my opinion.
It's a B for me, and it's entirely saved by Chase Brown and Yoshi. The value you got late round with those two bumps up the grade, because throwing away, I'm being harsh, but potentially having thrown away a first round pick on Murphy, which at this moment, we didn't get anything out of him. We haven't got any return on value on that.
Right.
Is devastating to a draft. It absolutely is. Yeah. And I know hindsight is 2020 and everything else, but this draft could have gone DJ Turner, Sam Laporta.
Oh yeah. I know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could have.
Yep.
One and two. And DJ Turner, even as a first round pick, you might have graded him a little more harshly, but you would have been satisfied with the pick. You'd have been fine with it. You'd be like, yeah, he really shows potential.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Sam Laporta in the second. No, so I there's 1,000 other combinations. I know that, but I'm just pointing out the cost of Miles Murphy. It's not just one guy who didn't produce. It is 20 other guys you could point to who you could go, we could have had him. We could have had him.
Yeah. And then there's such a weight on a first round pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
your first round guys are expected. You know, those are, you guys are going to start. And if you're not, you know, we want you to be a Pro Bowler here in a couple of years. We have no idea what's going to happen with Miles Murphy. And the good thing for the Bengals is you don't really need to know, because you got Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard locked up through 2025 now.
Taking a step back on that pass rush though, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Miles Murphy would do just anything.
Yeah. You would like to see Miles Murphy step it up where he's rotating in with those guys and keeping everybody fresh. You know what I mean? Even if it means he's stepping inside something. But yeah, as of right now, it's hard because there's such a weight. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, that first round pick is worth two picks, really. And you piss both of them away. You know what I mean? Because there's such a premium on those picks. So it's the second round too. I mean, the first and second rounds, those picks, I feel like those are, you can't miss. You have to hit it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, season's over. So this is the kind of stuff we're going to do now for a while. I don't know. What else going on? I got nothing.
That's it. I think it's the end of the show.
That's it. I think it is too. All right. Well, hey, we're on the Orange and Black Insider. Find us on YouTube, and then find us anywhere that you can find podcasts. It's not just us. It's OBI. It's Chalk Talk. It's Talking Football, Bengal Jim and Friends. It's a ton of great shows. Every day there's a new Bengal show. Brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation Cincy Bengal site, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. Real quick. I did want to ask you real quick before we go. Just, we don't have to do scores or anything like that. I just wanted to see who you got this weekend. So, all right. Browns to Texans, straight up.
Browns.
Me too. Dolphins at Chiefs.
Dolphins.
Me too. Steelers at Bills.
Bills.
Me too.
Easy.
All right. Packers at Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yep, me too. Rams at Lions.
Lions.
Me too. And then this is the one that I think have been kind of going back and forth. Eagles at Bucks. I don't know who the Eagles are. I have no idea. I thought they were good.
I did too, but they're gonna step up. They're gonna beat the Bucks.
You think so?
All right. I mean, look, I'm not saying there's not a window, and I get why everybody's questioning it, because it's fun to question it. This is what you do. The Eagles are better than the Bucks. They just are.
I totally agree.
They're not really playing particularly good, but it's the playoffs. I expect them to turn it on.
I agree. The Eagles are better than the Bucks, but I'm really still pulling for that Baker Mayfield versus Joe Flacco Super Bowl. I want to see it.
I want Lions and Texans if I could take my pick. I like the Lions. I'm really loving CJ Stroud these days. Yeah. Everybody kind of crapped on him, said he was stupid, was taken second. Texans are a nothing team. You know what I mean? So they're looking really good. I don't know. I think Texans Lions would be a lot of fun, man.
I think if I had to pick, if I really was forced to pick, I'd say I would go Lions versus Bills, and then I wouldn't be upset at who won. I'd be happy for either team.
That's good. Yeah.
If it's not Bills, I don't want it to be Chiefs. I'd say Lions.
Dolphins?
Yeah, Lions, Dolphins, I guess.
Okay, because that's kind of...
But I think the big thing, I think the big one would be Lions, Bills. That would be the two I'd like to see the win the most.
Sure.
So, that's just me. All right, well, hey, thank you, Kevin. I don't know why... Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back next week. Hooday.
Hooday.